Nice to lie in church, right?
Whoops.
Okay.
Everybody have cookies? Okay. Glad you're here. You know, we come today to honor dads, and I want to do that in a minute. But if you have your Bibles with you, if you turn to John chapter 15, if you don't, it's going to be up on the screens, and that's okay. But as we get into this, I really want to thank our dads on a number of levels. Dads who take responsibility for the support and the welfare of their children. I don't know if you realize it, but in today's culture, there's a big problem of fathers abandoning kids. It's a real big problem. So let me just say to all the dads here or granddads, thank you for taking responsibility for support and welfare of the children. Thank you because parenting is an awesome responsibility. One of the things that you learn quickly about being a parent is that after the first couple of years, you realize you know nothing, right? So parenting is really an awesome, sometimes overwhelming responsibility. There are also times in life for which parenting can become confusing and challenging. Isn't that true? Because there are things that come up. So what do we do with those times? What we do in those times and how we respond is just as important as what we do when times are good. Isn't that true? There's going to be problems. There's no such thing as a problem-free life, but how we respond to those things is telling. So the question I want to raise this morning is this with you. As dads, what can we do to become a little bit more loving and a better father? Now, I say that reservedly because what I don't want to do is beat up on dads today. I don't want to do that, okay? Dads, you work hard, okay? And a lot of you have been working hard for a lot of years. But just like anything else, there's always room for improvement. Isn't that right? We don't have all the answers. There's always room for some improvement along the way. It's funny. Joey muffled my age when he did the interview, but I'm 65. And there are those days I wish I can go back and do some things differently because now I know better, all right, if I can put it that way. The great thing sometimes about children is that they have short memories, you know, and I'm glad for that. And even at 65, even though our relationship is an adult relationship, but I still have a relationship with grandkids, there's still room for improvement because there are days, quite frankly, that I'm a grouch. Right? Have you been there? And I know there are things in my own life that there's room for improvement. So what I want to do is give you some key concepts from this great prayer that starts in John 15. This is a prayer that Jesus prayed to his Father. How fitting. To his Father. And this was recorded, I believe, for us so we can pick up some keys, not only fathers, but mothers also, of how we can be more effective as parents, how we can be more loving as parents. And so allow me to read this with you. You follow along silently as I read it with you. This is Jesus praying now. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, he's talking to his about his disciples, who, by the way, are followers of Christ, just like we are. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear what? Much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? Listen to me. Parenting is tough. And we have to get this in our minds that we need the wisdom that only God, his word, his Holy Spirit, Jesus can impart to us. We'll get into that. And he goes on to say, if you do not remain in me, you are like the branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown in the fire and burned. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's own life for one's friends. If he said, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Isn't that a great passage? I want to bring you back to the beginning. One of the first keys I see here is that if I'm going to be an effective dad or a more effective dad, I need to stay continually plugged into Christ. Does that make sense? It's nothing earth-shattering here. And what I mean by plugged in is that every day when I wake up, I have to make a choice. Right? We all make choices when we get up, right? What to wear, you know, what to eat for breakfast. But I have to make a choice that day if I'm going to abide in Jesus, if I'm going to remain in him, if my purpose for that day is to glorify him in everything I do. That is a daily choice that we all have to make. If I choose not to make it, there's going to be a good chance that in a lot of the things I do that day, I'm not going to glorify him. And that includes my relationships. One of the worst things, men, that we can do is wake up grumpy. Did you ever see those shirts? I woke up grumpy. He's right here, you know. One of the worst things we do is wake up grumpy. We have to make a choice every day who we're going to serve and who we're going to glorify. We need to be intentional about our personal walk with Christ. And listen, I'm not talking about a holier-than-thou attitude or self-righteousness or anything like that. You know me better than that. But I will tell you this, that when we wake up, parents, dads especially, that if we're not intentional about our walk with Christ, we are often running without even saying a word to Jesus or listening to him. Because we got to get to the office, we got to do this, we have to do that. And our schedule crowds us out to where we lose that connection so easily. We're talking about this morning, you know. It's a good thing to go to work. I don't want you leaving here and saying, look, I'm not going to work anymore. I want to hear from Jesus. It's not the way to do it. You know, the way to do it is to get up and a little earlier and say, I'm going to talk with Jesus this morning. That's the way to do it. Get up a little bit earlier. I don't care if you start with 5 minutes. You'll be surprised if you get in a habit that will increase. But if we don't do anything intentional, it's going to be the same old thing every day. Isn't that true? Now, if you're not a morning person, do it at lunch. You know, I mean, you work that out when it's best for you. But we need to stay connected. We need to understand that communion with and obedience to Christ bears much fruit. What do I mean by much fruit? What I think Jesus has in mind here is the fruit of the Spirit that is talked about by Paul in Galatians, right? The fruit of the Spirit is what? What's the first one? Love. Peace. Anybody here need peace? Patience. Kindness. Joy. Perseverance. And we can go on, okay? It's not an exhaustive list, by the way. But I don't know about you. Every day I need that. I need that every day. And I can't do that apart from Christ. We can try to look for joy and peace in all the inappropriate places, immorality, pornography, the abuse of alcohol or drugs, escaping through entertainment. Entertainment's not bad, but when we use it as an escape, then there's an issue there, okay? When we choose to disengage from Christ, we will not be as effective as God wants us to be. We sang before, shout to the Lord. And we sing about all the promises we have in Christ. Part of the problem is for us fathers, parents in general, is that we don't really know what those promises are until we read them and look at them and say, in Christ, those are mine. We need to learn to love as Christ loves us. I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, everyone here, that Jesus loves you. That's what the Bible says. He loves you. That never changes. He may not be happy with what we're doing at this moment, but he loves you. How did he show his love? Well, Scripture says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to demonstrate his love for us. That's how much he loved us. In this, later on in this passage, he says that someone who will lay down his life for his friends shows love, correct? I haven't met a dad yet who wouldn't do that for their child. Some happen in different ways, right? We've had some dads here serve in the military. And thank the Lord they're here with us, because they could have easily been killed in the battlefield protecting our rights. We have some men here who have been in law enforcement. And it's the same thing. The fact of the matter is, every day is a day by God's grace. The second key, we need dads that pray. Look at verse 6. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. And that's radical language that Jesus is using. But what he's saying here to make a point is this, that if we don't remain connected in prayer, we're going to become ineffective. And I don't know, you know, Sunday's a day for honesty. Have you ever had a time of or a season of not praying? Do you see a difference? I mean, I certainly have. And, you know, I can't emphasize this enough. It is really, I was talking to Mary Lou yesterday. There was a report. I don't know. I should have brought my computer with me. But recently, somebody spent, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars doing a report about where people believe chocolate milk comes from. And for those surveyed, and I understand it was a pretty extensive survey, 7% of Americans believe it comes from chocolate cows. I mean, brown cows. Okay, brown cows. It reminded me of, remember when Jack Parr had the Tonight Show, for some of you who were older? He did a spoof on farmers in Italy who grew spaghetti on trees. This is true. These are true. And he got letters for weeks afterwards saying, thanks, Mr. Parr. We didn't realize that, you know, they had tree farms, you know, spaghetti farms in Italy. And I'm sitting back saying how quick we are to believe things that are not true. How quick we are to believe things that are not true. By the way, it's part of our sin nature to do that. And yet we have some great promises here that we need to embrace by faith and say, we need to start living these things. By the way, spaghetti doesn't grow on trees. And brown milk does not come from, I mean, chocolate milk doesn't come from brown cows. And white milk doesn't come from Wawa, okay? So we set those things straight. We need to pray. Pray for the ability to love our wives and children as men with integrity. The best gift a dad can give to their children is loving their wife. That's the best gift. How you love your wife may determine the way how your children see their own life. That is the best gift. This comes from the anonymous author, Anonymous. And I'll read it to you. It says, the greatest gift a father can give his children is to love their mother. That's the greatest gift. This is a love that encourages and gives praise when it's appropriate. It takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. It takes less effort to criticize than it does to praise. For everyone in this room who I know, I can find something very legitimate to praise each of you. I think we forget that, and sometimes we're so harsh even with our own families. we fall into the category of being nicer with people we don't know than loving the people that we do know in our own families. Give praise when it's legitimate. Encourage. Encouragement can go a long way. It is a love that is also willing to discipline a child who's misbehaving. Oof. We don't talk about that much anymore, right? I'm talking about discipline, healthy discipline, not over-the-top discipline. I'm talking about healthy biblical discipline that fits to crime, okay, if I can put it that way. Listen to me. Part of being a father means that we take the responsibility of disciplining our kids when we see them going the wrong way. And that discipline is not to hurt them. That discipline is to help get them back on track again in the most loving way we can. Children who grow up without discipline end up losing respect for their parents. Because ultimately, the light will go on and say they really care. They really care. You know the cycle. Kids are usually okay with discipline up until about 10, 11 years old. Then they start in the teen years. Then they think you're stupid. And they may rebel for a while, but you still keep discipline in place where it's appropriate. And then, you know, as they get older and they find out that maybe they're, now they're getting married, having children or whatever, you weren't as stupid as they thought they were, right? But I found in 30 years of ministry that generally speaking, when children grow up in houses without any discipline, any boundaries, if I could put it that way, respect for the parent erodes tremendously. This type of love is sacrificial. It is a love that's willing to give of our time, talent, and treasure to our wives and our children. This type of love is supernatural. It doesn't happen in my own power. It only happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. We need God's help to love this way. We just sang grace alone, right? Grace alone. Only by God's grace am I able to love my family like Jesus loves them. I can't do it apart from him. Anything lasting we will that we do will be as a result of the fruit of the Spirit. Let me just bring you to the rest real quick. We need to pray for wisdom. There are challenges in families that we scratch our head and we say, all right, Lord, what's the best way to handle this? We go to his word and we look for some of those answers, but we need to pray for wisdom. James says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him what? Ask. Ask how? In prayer. We will face situations where for which we don't have all the answers, and we will face surprising challenges. How many parents here who have some mileage on them got blindsided at some point by one of their kids? Happens, right? It happens. We need wisdom. Pray for the ability to be authentic with our children. I can't emphasize this enough. Dad, you don't have to be macho. And you don't have to pretend you're perfect. Our kids know we're not perfect. Be authentic. What does that mean? That means this. When we're wrong, we admit it. And we ask forgiveness of our children. Any of you ever lost your temper at your kids? Sometimes that's wrong, isn't it? And we need to say, look, I shouldn't have done that. I am sorry. I was wrong. Be authentic. Admit we're not perfect. Admit we're just still a work in progress. Third key, dad needs to make time for Christ, for their wives, and for their children. As God grants wisdom, readjust priorities to make time for your family. This is one of the biggest things we need today. We don't need dinner anymore, right? I mean, we eat dinner, but what I mean by that is when we eat dinner, it's haphazard. Someone eats at 5 o'clock, another one eats at 5:30, another one eats at 7 o'clock. It's haphazard. Or when you're all at the dinner table, I don't have my phone, but when you're all at the dinner table, all the kids and even the parents are on your phones. Listen to me. Wisdom from God would say readjust priorities. There might be some common sense things you need to do. If you're putting 100 hours of work a week in, you may need to readjust that to give time to wives and families. That would be the long-term smart solution in this. I realize some dads have to work a job and a half, but there's still things that could be readjusted. But by all means, when you sit down as a family or you have time as a family, turn the phones off. Nobody here's a brain surgeon. Things can wait. Learn to talk to one another again. Learn to listen to one another. Turn the phones off. Make time to encourage. Make time to teach. Make time to love each other. The fourth key, enjoy God's blessings and the fruit of obedience. When we remain connected to Christ, when we are looking for him for wisdom, when we are praying, when we're reading his word, and the Spirit of God starts to transform us from the inside out, here's some of the fruit. We start to have peace of mind. Even in the storm, we can have peace of mind. We see answers to prayer. We see strength for obedience and perseverance through tough times. We see the fruit of the Spirit starting to come from our lives from the inside out. I'm going to tell you, I'll show you how this works out as a pastor. Well, not even as a pastor, but I remember when I first came to Christ, long time ago now, we were in this church, not too much bigger than this, and they were like us, we're all characters. We're all from different backgrounds. We all have different personalities. And Marilyn and I found ourselves being friends with people we would have normally not been friends with prior to our relationship with Christ. That's a neat thing. That is the power of God working in the lives of people, teaching us how to love one another despite our differences, teaching us how to love one another despite our personalities, teaching us how to love one another because we care for each other. Now, we often kid Joey. Joey is our only son. God just worked it out that way. After Joey, we had a couple of miscarriages. So he was the only one. We say we stopped at perfection, okay? But with those of you who have had multiple kids, you know that everyone has a different personality, right? They all have different personalities. Just like a church, you all have different personalities. We have to learn to love one another the way Jesus loves us. So fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers. We have one great-grandfather here today. Do we have any others? Oh, yeah, you're right, Charlie. Charlie's a great-grandfather. And Cy, I said we have Cy here. And this applies right across the board, some slightly different relationships. But these are keys that can make a difference in being a godly father. They really are. The power of an obedient and an authentic dad is to love our children and our wives with the love of Christ and to leave a legacy of love produced by the fruit of Spirit. Now listen. When a family is functioning as it ought to, there is nothing wrong with moms, dads, grandpas, grandmas leaving stuff financially for their children or great-grandchildren. There's nothing wrong with that. But I want to suggest to you the biggest legacy that anyone can leave is a legacy of love. That's the biggest legacy. Because future generations will get together at a dinner table or during a holiday. And they're not going to talk about the $500 watch that Grandpa left and gave them. They're going to talk about how Grandpa loved them even when they were hurting. They're going to talk about how their dad was there for them even though they made some stupid choices in their lives. They're going to talk about how Mom and Dad never gave up on them. And how because they loved them, they disciplined them. Those are the legacies that we can leave. And the last question I want to ask this morning is this: dads, are we willing by God's grace to submit to Him? Are we willing to do that? That's a daily commitment. We're right back to where we started, abiding in Christ, making that decision every day when we get up. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you the truth. Yeah, for those of you who regularly attend here, you know that on Sunday mornings, when our Sunday school's in session during the school year, I minister to the high schoolers and the 20-somethings. I can tell you this. They have taught me so much over the years that I have been with them, and I value each and every one of them. I will go a step further. When I wrote my dissertation for my doctorate, in the acknowledgement page, I wrote that my son was one of my best teachers. And it's true, because my dissertation dealt with how to train millennials for leadership in the church. And we just constantly would go back and forth with each other about different things, different books, different resources. Man, I say all of that to say this, that God gives us blessings within our own families. All right? Let's not take them for granted. And every one of us, whether we're dads, whether we're moms, whether we're uncles, aunts, kids, young children, every one of us has room for improvement to love better as Christ loves us. The question is, are we willing to submit? Only you could answer that question between you and God. But God is good. And all the time. Dads, granddads, thank you. I appreciate each and every one of you. Keep on doing good things. Let's together learn to love better. Let's together learn what it is to abide in Christ. So, one last plug. If you want to come out to men's group, come on. It's not just for dads. It's for, you know, any guy. But these are some of the things we talk about. We can ask the praise team to come.